And we saw the first four verses of the chapter last week, and so we'll pick up in verse 5. It says, "And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, Take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they," the disciples, "reasoned among themselves, saying, Is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." When you're walking with Jesus, whether it be the disciples 2,000 years ago in this text or even today, when you're walking with the Lord, there's always, almost, it seems that every moment can be, if we'll let it, a teaching moment. Every occurrence, everything we go through, he can take it and enlighten us with certain truths. He knows everything, obviously. Before we even express things, he knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're feeling. Before it comes out of our mouth, he's already discerned what our thoughts and concerns are. So, if we'll let him, he will use those thoughts and concerns or those internal something in there, internal, can't come up with the word. But anyway, those things we think about, okay? He'll use those moments as an opportunity to teach us something. So in this text, before anybody had ever said a word about it, Jesus was aware that the disciples were reasoning among themselves. They were thinking about whether they had brought enough bread or not. And he knew that they hadn't brought enough bread to suffice. So he tells them in verse 5, first of all, verse 5, it says, "And when the disciples were come to the other side." Now, let me just bring you up to date to what that location is. It means that they have now left the last encounter, which was in verse 1 through 4. It was an encounter with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, if you'll remember. Okay. They were on the western shore of Galilee, or the Sea of Galilee. And now it says, now that they've gone to the other side, they have gone across the Sea of Galilee, having been in Magdala on the west side. Now they're on the east side of Galilee once again. They had been here not too many lessons ago. They'd been on the east side before, and remember, it was Gentile territory on that side of Galilee. What's the significance of that? There really is not any particular significance in this text. There was a couple of weeks ago, but it seems that they're just kind of going back and forth across Galilee to different locations. And so now that they're on the eastern side, that puts them in a location, again, Gentile territory, but it's also a location that would have, during those times, been very sparsely populated. And so it likely put them in a position where they were a good distance, maybe many miles, away from a place to go buy food or go buy bread. And on top of that, as Jews, they would have been apprehensive about going to buy bread from the Gentiles anyway, okay? A parallel passage to this over in Mark chapter 8 tells us that they had only 1 loaf of bread, okay, in this particular occasion. So hardly enough to feed all of them. We know that. So knowing this, Jesus, knowing that they've reasoned in their hearts about this, he seizes the moment. He's going to teach them something here. And he says in verse 6, he says, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Now that word "take heed" simply means open your eyes or pay close attention. You couple that with the word "beware," and he's simply telling them, keep your eyes open and be very cautious about everything that the Pharisees and the Sadducees are teaching, okay? Everything that they say or teach, be cautious about it. What Jesus has in mind is the spiritual dangers that come with the teachings of the Pharisees. He wants his disciples to be on guard. And the amount of bread that they had with them or did not have with them was of no concern at all to Jesus. He can take care of the bread. He makes that clear in verse 9 and 10. He's concerned about the teachings of the Pharisees. But the disciples, being just like you and I, fallible human beings as they are, or as they were, they couldn't see past the physical. So they're missing the spiritual lesson that Jesus has for them, and it's very evident in verse 7. It says, "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread?" In other words, they're saying, what's he talking about leaven for? What's he mentioned that? What's he bring that up for? Is it because we didn't bring enough bread? Maybe they were thinking, we don't know what their confusion was, but perhaps they were thinking that since they were low on bread, that Jesus may be concerned that they would want to go back to the Pharisees and Sadducees and buy bread from them. We don't know exactly what they would have been thinking and what their reasoning was, but they're confused, to say the least, about what the Lord is trying to teach them. So this prompts him to say something that we've heard many times, "O ye of little faith," first part of verse 8. The disciples were struggling with the same problem that really all of us struggle with. The physical world that we live in and the needs and the challenges that it brings, that it confronts us with, they tend to occupy our minds and our hearts and keep us from seeing the spiritual things, the things of faith. He says, "O ye of little faith." The principles and the promises of the Word of God are the things of faith. And he's saying, you have little of that. You're concerned, you're bombarded with concerns of the physical realm, the world you live in, everything else. He said, and you have little faith, okay? We need faith over the physical things. That's where we get our strength. But if you have the physical over faith, physical is the one dominating your thoughts and your concerns, then you have weakness, and Jesus knows that. And so he goes on in verse 8 after saying, "O ye of little faith," and he asks them a rhetorical question. And in the latter part of that verse, he says, "Why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread?" Obviously, he knows why they're struggling, but in essence, he's asking them, why are you so caught up in the physical? Why are you so caught up in what's happening around you? Why does that seem to control you? And it's really a good question for all of us to be asking ourselves. Why do so often we worry and we fret about what's happening in this life? We have to deal with it, folks. We don't stick our heads in the sand, but we allow it to dominate us over the things of faith. Why do we reason among ourselves is the question. And the word reason here is pretty interesting because it nailed it. It intimates the idea of something revolving in our mind. Is that not what happens when we get concerned about something? Maybe it's a financial issue, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a health issue, maybe it's a problem on the job, maybe it's whatever. And this word really paints a picture of what happens, because it just goes round and round in our mind. We just keep looping it around, if you will, over and over, the same thoughts, worrying about the world's troubles, and it keeps our mind off of this, and it keeps our minds off of God's truth and God's promises, because this revolving thought, this revolving concern, worrying about the world's troubles, and just rehearsing it over and over and over. So the words of Jesus that Jesus says next is something that we all need to hear and apply to our life. He begins in verse 9, and he says, "Do ye not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how they and how many baskets ye took up. Neither," he says, "neither do you remember or understand the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up." There's two things that we see here in these verses that we all need to do. First of all is understand. That's what he says, "Do ye understand?" Well, he knew they didn't understand. He's wanting them to understand. And it understand what? He wants them to understand that, hey, I've got control of all of this. You're in my care. I'm capable. I'm not only capable of supplying for you and taking care of you, but I'm committed to it. I'm committed to the best interest of your life. He wants us to know that. He wants us to understand that. And then comes the second thing. He wants us to remember. He says, do ye not yet understand, neither remember? And then he rehearses about the five loaves and the 5,000. And essentially saying, remember. Remember what? Remember all the times in the past that he came through for you. Remember all the different times when you thought you were at the end of your rope, and somehow it came through and it worked out and God did something great. All of those things, and the previous times that he's taken care of our needs, and he gave us whatever it took to carry us through those particular trials. And in this case, with the disciples here, he reminds them of two specific instances where he dealt miraculously with the very subject of bread, which is kind of what was on their mind, remember? And we know that we've studied both of these in recent months, both of these particular occurrences. One was when he took the five loaves and fed the 5,000, and then the other is when he took the seven loaves and fed the 4,000. But notice he doesn't just remind them of those two miracles in general. He doesn't remember when I fed all those people. He goes beyond general, and he gives specific details. He says, remember the five loaves? And how many people? It was 5,000 people. Of course, there was 5,000 men, the scripture says, so we know, counting women and children, it was much more than that. And he says, remember the seven loaves and the 4,000 men that were fed. You see, he's given specifics. And then, like any good teacher, in order to make them think about what he's saying, he asked them to answer the next question. How many baskets did you take up? You see, he's asking them. He wants them to think about it. Remember these instances? Remember it close. How many, not only did I feed everybody, but there were how many baskets in that first round? 12. How many baskets in that second round when I fed 4,000? How many were there? 5, wasn't it? I believe it was 5. And so it's pretty important that we realize that he wants us to practice what he's trying to teach them in this verse. You answer the question. Remind yourself when he came through that last time or in this particular instance. Think about the details of it. Think about how he seemed to solve the problem, the details of that, okay? And it's interesting there in this particular text, he doesn't mention the fish in either of the miracles, okay? In the first miracle, there were 2 fish. And in the second miracle, he just says they had a few little fishes, okay? It doesn't specify how many, how few. But he doesn't even bring them up because there's no need. Bread was the subject at hand here. And so he just uses bread to illustrate his point and stays with the basics of the lessons, okay? And it was not literal bread that began this exchange, remember? It was the subject of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So we're going to return to that subject for just a few moments and then we'll be done. Let's look at verse 11. How is it that you do not understand that I spoke it to you not concerning bread? He said, we're not dealing with literal bread here, guys. I can take care of that. I can make sure you're fed. He goes on, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, this is a subject that, I don't know, I lose track of time. Several lessons ago, way back in chapter 13, we visited this subject of understanding leaven and how that worked, okay? And I think it's important to rehearse that again and understand what's being meant by the metaphor of leaven. Leaven, in more than one case in the Scripture, was a figurative, was used figuratively to represent the influence of something, good or bad. Beware of the influence of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It would be very easy for Jesus to say. And the reason that makes such a good metaphor, and it's so in those ancient times, would have hit home with anybody that was hearing what he was saying. They knew exactly what the metaphor of leaven meant, because leaven, the purpose of leaven is much like yeast. Now, it's my understanding that it's not actual yeast, but it's like yeast, okay? Don't get me, I don't cook bread. But I'm just going by what I study. the purpose of leaven was to make the bread, just like yeast, to make the bread rise, right? Before it goes into the oven to be baked. And the same way yeast does today. But in ancient times, it wasn't like it is today, where you can go buy yeast and have yeast in the cupboard and everything else. What they had to do, the only method of having the leaven or the yeast on hand was to always save a little piece of that unbaked dough from the last batch, hold that little piece of unbaked dough back and keep it preserved. And later, when you're ready to start a new batch of bread, you allow that to start the fermentation process, which will again produce enough leaven to go to the next batch. And it would go from batch to batch to batch that way. It's a process that is very much pictures what influence does to you and I, whether it be good influence or bad influence. In the case of the yeast or the leaven, it went from this batch to this batch. It even went from one generation to the next generation. It went from house to house. Can you loan me some of some of the dough from your batch of bread? Mine seemed to have failed. Now let me take this home, and now I've got something that will ferment and rise. And so it went from house to house. And the thing about it is, this is a picture of influence, because influence, good or bad, the influence of a church perhaps, or the insurance of influence of a drug dealer. Either way, when that is introduced, it has a perpetual effect. It's not just introduced once and goes away. It goes from group to group, person to person, neighborhood to neighborhood, even generation to generation. Good influence carries on and brings good things in future generations. Bad influence carries on and brings bad things for future generations. And so what has to be done? What's Jesus taking here? You have to purposely, deliberately extract the leaven. Get it out. In other words, beware of the influence of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Stay clear of it. Extract it. Don't allow it to get on your mind or in your mind, because it will, if you don't purposely remove it, then as the scripture says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole bunch. Okay? And so Jesus is commanding them, or telling them, to make a conscious effort to get those teachings out of their life. Now, I'll just end with this. This unleavened, this principle of unleavened bread, goes all the way back to the story in Exodus, where Israel, God's chosen people, were being led out of Egypt after 400 years of bondage and influence. 400 years of Egyptian pagan influence was ingrained to a certain degree into the Israelites, okay? God ordered them, remember, if you go back and read it, he ordered them to eat unleavened bread, to carry with them unleavened bread when they left Egypt, right? What's the purpose of that? It was all symbolism, because God says, you're leaving Egypt, and I don't want you to take one influence from pagan Egypt with you when I take you into your promised land. I want you to leave all that garbage behind, is what he's saying. And, you know, to be real honest with you, I never really understood that well. I mean, I knew some of the purposes, but that's exactly the reason why the leaven is. He's saying symbolically, you're leaving all the junk, the influence that will ruin you, you're leaving it behind, and you're going to the promised land, and I'll give you some influence that'll carry you through and bring good things into your life in the promised land. So I think it's very interesting how the two of these things coincide. So let's go ahead and stand. We'll revisit the latter part of that text next week and see where that takes us, okay? All right. Good to see Chris Copeland and Karina and Baby back there. All right. Good to see all of you guys. Brother Jerry, will you lead us in a word of prayer, please?